I want to start off today's podcast by saying thank you to everyone who listened to the first episode and showed their support. I got a lot of good feedback from a lot of you, and I'm so grateful for that, and I do appreciate that. And I have taken account to everything that you guys did tell me and what you thought of the first episode. So thank you again. And welcome to the Muslim Next Door podcast. If you are new, my name is Shifat and I'm your host. So today's episode, I kind of wanted to touch upon a topic that tends to cause a lot of controversy, maybe. But it does create a debate and it does create a conversation that a lot of people want to be a part of. I want to talk about the hijab today. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up in today's podcast was because I had come across an Instagram post that I believe was posted, by an Instagram handle Muslim. So this account, they had kind of posted about, it was about like how in the media we're portrayed as needing saviors to save us from the hijab. And it was a very interesting kind of post. It was a couple of pictures and it was just kind of breaking down different movies and shows that we see in Western media about how the Muslim woman needs saving. And usually that savior is a white man and that we're oppressed and we need someone to come and pull us out of that so we can take off our hijabs and be free. And I've always seen this in the media, but this post really rubbed me the wrong way because there was, because it's become more apparent in media. And I guess I've started to realize that older shows that we used to watch and movies we used to watch had a lot of negative ideas about Islam. And one of those movies being one of my favorite movies, Aladdin, you know, and this was a huge conversation when Aladdin, they did the remake of Aladdin, and people started talking about it. And so I wanted to talk about it today. I want to talk about how we aren't oppressed, you know, and majority of the time we do choose to wear it. You know, there's certain cases that unfortunately some girls are forced, but that's not the majority. I mean, I made the decision for myself. My mom was actually against me wearing it when I wore it because I was so young. I was in the sixth grade and I wanted to wear it because my best friend at the time had just come back from overseas and was wearing it. And I think for months I kept begging my mom. I was like, I want to wear it. And so like, she'd be like, no, you're too young. It's a big decision. You're not wearing it because of the right reasons. And I was like, no, you don't know why I want to wear it. Like, let me wear it. And so we went back on topic for a couple months, and then she brought a good friend of hers who's very well known in the Muslim community and very well respected, and she sat me down. She's like, listen, this is what the hijab means, and if you wear it, this is what is expected of you, and this is a decision that you're making. This is a lifelong decision that you're making, and you can't make it lightly. And so she put into perspective a lot of different things, and even after talking to me, it made me even want to wear the hijab more. From what she had said, it really like created the sense of love for it, you know. And I also love the hijab because my mom wore it and my sisters wore it, and I wanted to be just like them. And so I was even more convinced at this point. And so when I told my mom's friend, asked me, she's like, so do you still want to wear it? I was like, yes, I still want to wear it. So she sat my mom down and she told her, she's like, this girl really wants to wear it, let her wear it, let's see where it goes. So my mom was like, okay. So my mom sat me down and she said, listen, if you put on the hijab, this is a lifelong decision, and this is your decision. You can't come to me down the line in 5 years and 10 years and say, you forced me to wear it, I want to take it off, it's your fault. She said, if you do decide to one day take it off, you have to know and accept that this was your decision and that is your choice and it is your life. So what you decide really falls onto you. So do not come to me in the future and say you forced me, because I don't want you to have that resentment and have that in your heart that I forced you to wear it and that I made you wear it. And it will create this sense of resentment towards her, towards Islam, towards the hijab. And so I was like, nope, I want to wear it. That's it. And alhamdulillah, I still wear it. And it was not an easy journey. It was a very hard journey for me. And I think every hijabi struggles through it. And a lot of hijabis get it worse than others. And alhamdulillah, my journey, as hard as it was still easier than a lot of different Muslim girls in comparison. I didn't experience Islamophobia to a level where I was scared to leave the house. We never really experienced anything that hard here in the community that we live in, because it is such a diverse community, and I'm so thankful that this was the community I grew up in. But that's not to say that there isn't people who don't like it. You know, I always got weird glances. I've gotten words thrown at me. I've had people kind of change their opinion on me once I wore it. And so wearing hijab in a Western society and going to a public school where the majority are white people and going to a school where I was the only one wearing it. There was one other girl in elementary school with me, but she was 2 years older, graduated, and I was once again alone. In those 2-3 years that I wore it when I was in elementary school, I experienced a lot of weird things. One of the weirdest ones was probably this kid who came up to me very confidently and said, "My mom told me that people who wear the hijab have cancer and don't have any hair, and that's why they wear it, to hide it." And I looked at him and I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, you don't have hair underneath there. You're bald and you have cancer." And I was like, "No, I have a full head of hair under here. And so does my mom and my sisters and every other Muslim woman that I've seen. And we don't have cancer, not that I know of." And this kid was like, "Nope, my mom's right. You don't know anything." I was like, "I don't know anything. What are you talking about? What do you know?" And so at school, he went around telling other kids that I was bald and that I had cancer. And I got teased for it. And I'd say, "No, I have hair. I have hair." And these kids would pick on me and say, "So show us your hair. Show us your hair then." I'm like, "That's not how it works. I'm not allowed to show my hair to people. Like, that's why I wear this." And they're like, no, "You're bald. You're this, you're that." And it was such a weird thing to kind of experience because I didn't know how to react. You know, should I find it funny? Should I find it offensive? Should I find it hurtful? And so I felt so many different feelings. And knowing my mom had an apprehension to me wearing it because of things like this, I didn't tell her. You know, I didn't really tell anyone. I didn't go to a teacher. I didn't go to my parents. I didn't go to my sisters because I was kind of unsure of what to do. And I didn't want to tell my mom. And then she'd be like, "No, take it off then. Kids are bullying you. You don't need to wear it at a young age. Wear it when you go into high school." And so I didn't want to hear that. So I didn't tell my mom. And to tell a teacher, I was like, they're probably going to think the same thing and they won't believe me. So I didn't tell a teacher. And so after a couple weeks, the rumor, the story kind of died down and people kind of forgot about it and people got used to me wearing it. But what I took from that story was that people are ignorant, you know, and it's crazy what you can teach your children, say to your children, and what effect it can have on other people. You know, I don't know if she did it out of pure ignorance or she did it out of hate or I don't know what it was, but it was crazy to me that she was able to tell her kid this, have him convinced, and then he can go and tell other kids this. And I mean, I think that's how hatefulness and misinformation gets spread, is by these adults who say things in front of their children without realizing the repercussions of it. This kid went around and said this about me, and I think that was probably the weirdest one I've heard. You know, I've gotten the, "Do you shower with it on? Can you hear with it on?" And like those stories that I think majority of hijabis get growing up here in the West. And they're funny stories, really, but sometimes they're hurtful and sometimes they're offensive. And so that brings me back to the whole people assuming things about us. You know, this kid assumed that I had cancer. You know, where did he get that information from? From an adult who he trusted, who was supposed to teach him right from wrong. And this adult taught them that that was what was right. And so this whole thing kind of goes back to how in TV shows and movies for kids, you know, like Disney movies, they're putting these ideas in them and you don't notice them. And it becomes kind of subconscious, these ideas that they plant in little kids' head that were barbaric, that Arabs, like in Aladdin, they sing in one of the songs, like that were barbaric. And so as a kid, you don't realize that and you start to sing it and then you start to associate that Arabs are barbaric. And if you've noticed the movies, they put like a yellow filter when they're in a Muslim country and it makes it seem like they're poor and they're, you know, they need saving. And it's crazy that that's how we're portrayed. And it's kind of become the normal, like, this is it, you know. And when you look in the media, you don't see anything that kind of goes against that, you know. Like that, there's this one show on Apple TV, takes off her hijab. And who saves her? A white guy. And it's crazy that that's what people think of us. Because I don't need saving. I'm not oppressed. I wore it by choice. And everyone that I know of wore it by choice. And in Islam, you're not supposed to force a girl to wear it. And I don't believe in forcing a girl to wear it because I've seen girls who were forced and who've become resentful towards the hijab and resentful towards Islam. And they lose that love for Islam that their parents should have helped instill in them. But their parents, I guess, out of fear and out of ignorance, thought that was the best way to raise their kids here. That to force them into the hijab, that means they'll stay Muslim. But that's really not how it works. My mom was very adamant about us making our choice. Like, my younger sister didn't wear hijab till high school. And the reason why was because she didn't want to wear it younger. And she made a deal with my mom. She said, listen, I'll wear it once I graduate grade 8. I want to wear a nice dress. I want to wear, you know, straps and everything, get my hair done and look good. And then when I go into high school, I'll put it on. And my mom's like, that's fine with me as long as that's your choice and your decision. And so she put it on, and she put it on with a love for it. You know, she didn't resent the fact that she had to put it on, which, you know, I thank my mom for that, because I think if we were forced into it, I think we would have taken it off. It breaks my heart when I see girls take it off, because I know what you can achieve with the hijab, what you can gain in the afterlife with the hijab. And so when I see girls taking it off, it really saddens me. But at the same time, I understand why some of these girls take it off, you know, whether it's from social pressure or from their families or with the way they're talked to. You know, I know girls who took it off because people were constantly like nagging at them. Oh, you're not wearing it right. Take it off. You're not wearing it right. Take it off, which is so wrong to say. Like, who are you to go and tell a girl who's in the middle of her journey, especially out here in the West, where it's hard to wear the hijab, and to tell them you're wearing it wrong, take it off? No, you should be encouraging her. You should be advising her. You should be saying, oh, wow, that's awesome that you wear the hijab, even though she might not be wearing it perfectly. I mean, I don't wear it perfectly. I don't think anyone wears a hijab perfectly, because the hijab isn't just the way you dress. It's the way you act towards other people. It's the way you act to yourself. It's the way you represent yourself. You know what I mean? It's not just covering your hair and your body. There's a lot that goes into the hijab, and women aren't the only ones that have hijab in Islam. Men do too. Men have to act modest. Men have to act a certain way. And people forget that. People just assume that the hijab is just cover your hair, cover your body, and that's that. No, it goes way beyond that. And I've met girls who wear the hijab and aren't as closest to religion as you expect. And I've met girls who don't wear it and that pray 5 times a day and are super close. Hijab doesn't dictate if you're religious or not. You know, the hijab is a part of it, but it's not all of it. And I think that's a misconception that not only here in the West, but like in Muslim society that we have, is that if a girl's not wearing the hijab, she's a bad Muslim. And if a girl's wearing the hijab, she's a good Muslim. But that's not always the case. And we're all struggling and we're all working through our journey of Islam. And everyone has a different path and everyone has a different way of dealing with things. And my path was that I wore it at a young age and I continued wearing it. There's other girls who wore it at a young age and took it off. There's girls who don't wear it and plan to wear it in a couple years. There's girls who wore it at an older age. So every person's journey in Islam is very different, and you can't judge someone. You have no right to judge someone on their journey, because it is hard. This whole life is a test, you know, and everyone's test is different. So who are you to go and tell a girl that she's wearing her hijab wrong, to take it off or to put it on or whatever the case is? You have no right to say things like that. You can advise, but you have to advise them in a proper manner. I've seen women go up to young girls who wear the hijab and in front of everyone call them out on what they're wearing. And that's embarrassing. And that's hurtful, because you start to take that in and put it in your heart and start to get this resentment towards it, because you associate the hijab now to this woman who embarrassed you in front of people. I mean, if you want to advise someone, take them to the side, you know, talk to them kindly, be like, hey, mashallah, you wear the hijab. That's very great. And that's amazing. I just wanted to advise you on one little thing, if you don't mind. And it's up to the girl if she wants to take that advice or not. So you can't tell her how to react to that advice. You know, whether she accepts the advice, whether she rejects the advice is really up to her in the end of the day. But you can't call people out in front of other people. That's not how it works. And that's not how to deal with it. And do not ever, 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 ever tell a girl to take it off. It really upsets me, because I know people who I love that have taken it off because of reasons like that. And you never know what someone's going through. You never know what they're struggling with. And when you say things like that, you don't know the way it's going to affect them. You can't expect your journey to be the same as everyone else's. And I'm not going to sit here and say I've never thought of taking it off. I think every girl who's worn it has thought of it. And it's a fleeting thought, and it's something that I struggled with in high school. You know, I saw all my friends, they were wearing shorts and dresses in the summer, and I was wearing this hijab. And of course, as a kid, you kind of think, oh, I want to wear like that. I want to be like that. I want to do that. And when you're the only one who's wearing it, it makes it even harder. And in high school, I was the only one wearing it as well. There was maybe one or two girls coming in and out older than me who graduated. And so in my group of friends, I was the only one. In my classes, I was the only one. And so it was something I struggled with, because I was always so visibly different than everyone. And it was so hard for me to kind of find my place, because I didn't fit in with the Arabs because they thought I was too religious, and I didn't fit in with the white people because I looked too different. And so it took a while for me to find a balance in that and find people who were like, okay, like we don't really care, you know, you're super chill. But that was after I had proved myself that I wasn't this like crazy strict Muslim person, because people have this connotation of being religious equals bad, or religious means equals strict, religious means not being fun. And so all those things were so associated in it. So I would go around saying, I'm not religious, I'm not religious, which I regret doing because I am religious. I do pray, I wear the hijab, and I follow Islam. I'm a religious person. But at the same time, that doesn't take away from who I am as a person. That adds to who I am as a person. I'm a religious person who likes to have fun and go out and, you know, make jokes and everything. You know, people assume that if you're religious, you don't do any of that stuff. You don't hang out and you don't, you know, watch TV shows and movies. And so it's an assumption that people have created. It's something that I've needed to learn to take account for myself, and something that I pay attention to. And I have to remind myself, like, you have to say you are a religious person. There's no lie in it. There's no shame in it. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's crazy how we've been kind of trained subconsciously to think that it's a bad thing when it's not. And so as I got older, I started realizing all these little things that I would say or do or see, and understanding how horrible it was and detrimental it was to me. And, you know, like growing up and thinking these thoughts and seeing these things and being told these things, it starts to really affect you. And it wasn't till I was older that I was like, hey, I'm a proud Muslim and I wear the hijab and I'm religious. It was something that I had to learn for myself and accept for myself. And I'm still learning. Like, I'm not a perfect Muslim. I don't think anyone is. But I'm still learning and I'm still struggling with the hijab. You know, I don't dress as a hijabi should be. You know, sometimes my shirt is a little too short, my pants are a little too tight. And it's something I'm trying to learn to understand and accept that, hey, like, I'm still learning, that it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Like, I might not be doing it right, but it doesn't mean I have to completely leave it behind. And I think some people think, oh, if you're not doing it right, then don't do it at all. No. You should be trying, you should be attempting, you should be learning, you should be working on it. Because you can't just put on the hijab and bam, that's it, you're the perfect Muslim. No, you put on the hijab as a first step. And then from the hijab, you know, change the way you act, do the way you talk, the way you treat other people. It all comes together. And some people's journey is different. Some people's journey starts with them starting to pray 5 times a day, and then changing the way they act, and then changing this, and then putting on the hijab. You know, everyone's journey is very different. There's some people who don't even put it on. And again, that's everyone's journey and everyone's struggle with it. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know whether, hey, maybe in a week they're going to put it on. And you just don't know that. And then your comment of saying, why don't you wear the hijab? You're a bad Muslim, kind of takes them off that path. So you have to be very, very vigilant of what you say around people and to people. And another thing from that post on that Muslim account that kind of rubbed me the wrong way was the whole white savior thing. That people think we need saving by a white man. And it's insane to me that people think that's what we need. And it's far from it, you know? I mean, for me personally, I want to find a good Muslim man who, you know, someone who brings me closer to my religion. I don't need someone to come and save me, because I don't need saving. I'm not some damsel in distress. I'm not some oppressed little girl who can't do what she wants. You know, I have a freedom here, thankfully, in the West that not a lot of people get. And with this freedom, I get the freedom to wear whatever I want to wear. I get the freedom to believe whatever I want to believe. And what I believe and what I want to wear is the hijab and believe in Islam. And to people, it's so crazy to them that someone would want to do that. But it's like, hey, you're Christian, you're Catholic, you're Jewish, you're atheist. You believe what you want to believe and you wear what you want to wear. So why can't I do the same thing? The fact that you're telling me that I have to take it off is what's oppressing me. You're telling me what I can and can't do. And I'm not brainwashed, you know? I took a religious class in high school and I learned about so many different religions. And even after that, the only thing that really made sense to me was Islam. And I did question a lot of things in Islam. I think everyone questions things and you learn things. I studied Islam. It wasn't just what my parents told me. It wasn't like it was something that, here, this is what it is, take it and go. It was more, hey, here's what it is, learn about it. Look into it, understand it, research it. And so that's what I did. So my decisions that I've made in my life don't come lightly. And a lot of Muslims, their decisions don't come lightly. They study the religion, but people just assume that we're brainwashed here in the West, that, oh, you're a Muslim. How are you a Muslim in the West? That means you're being forced. That means you're brainwashed. That means you need saving. Like, no, buddy. And contrary to what people believe, we're no damsels in distress. We don't need saving. We are pretty happy with where we are. And as of being a Muslim in the West, as a hijabi in the West, I can speak for myself that I have a freedom that not a lot of people have, and I'm grateful for that. And I made this decision for myself, so do not assume that I was forced into it. And people tend to assume that I was forced to wear it, which isn't true. And you shouldn't really assume that, because it's a wrong assumption. There's nothing wrong with me wearing the hijab, and there isn't anything that should kind of make you think there's something wrong with it, because wearing the hijab isn't wrong. It's freedom of religion, freedom of choice. I mean, you want to wear short shorts and a tank top? That's wonderful for you. I want to wear a hijab and cover my body? That's wonderful for me. We make our own decisions and we have our own choices, and you can't come and tell me what I believe is wrong and what you believe is right. And for some reason, people don't understand this. And it's crazy. It's like, come on, people can make their own decisions for themselves. Why does everyone have to get involved? I mean, why do we have to make it such a big issue? You know, in some countries, it's the hijab, they want to ban it, you know, they want to ban the niqab. I'm like, what's it to you? What is this hate towards Islam? What's it doing to you? I mean, just because I cover my hair, how does that affect you? Me wearing my hijab does not affect you in any way. And so you having an opinion on it doesn't really make sense, because it's my body, my choice. You know, people go around and they preach, my body, my choice, I can do whatever. I'm totally for my body, my choice. But when it comes to my body as a Muslim girl, my choice as a Muslim girl, it's suddenly I'm oppressed, suddenly I'm brainwashed, suddenly I don't know what I'm doing. And it's heartbreaking to see that, because you would think people who are so like pro, you know, like do whatever you want would kind of stand with me. But it's really not like that majority of the time. A lot of the time it's they want their own choice with their own body, but they also want to have the choice to decide what you can do with your body. And for me, I want to cover it. And some people, for some reason, don't like that. And why I want to talk about this, you know, why I'm so passionate about talking about kind of topics like this, is because maybe someone who does have a weird misconception about the hijab and someone who doesn't understand the hijab does listen, and they're like, oh, I understand a bit, you know, I get it. I get that this person really wants to wear the hijab, and who am I to judge? And at the same time, I could just be talking to people who don't want to change their minds. But I guess my rant of this is over. We've hit kind of the 20-minute mark. I think this is as long as people want to listen to me. But I'm just going to end it here. And if you do want to kind of get involved in this conversation and you want to talk about your opinion, you can go to the Instagram at Muslim Next Door Podcast and leave a comment on my most recent post on what you think of the hijab. Do you agree with my thoughts? Do you agree with my opinions on it? What kind of, have you experienced any Islamophobia as a hijabi, if you're a hijabi? Have you been ignorant towards the hijab before? What changed your mind towards the hijab? You know, let me know. I want to know. I'm curious. So thank you for listening. It's been a fun podcast. So I'm your host, Shifa Abdu, and you are listening to the Muslim Next Door Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay 6 feet apart, and don't miss your prayers. Take care. Until next week.